Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with wild beasts, and the angels waited upon him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Here we are again, in the wilderness of our Lenten season. And here we are again, after another deadly school shooting. Many of you know that I was the chaplain for the closest pediatric trauma center following the Newtown school shooting. And so each time a school shooting happens, a wave of memories seem to emerge. And with this far too frequent wave, I often hear attempts to make sense of a senseless tragedy. Most recently, we heard the story of an orphaned, loner teen who was expelled from school with a mental illness that drove him to commit a heinous massacre. Now, my first response is that there is absolutely no excuse for the Parkland shooter. What he did was both evil and horrific, and at the same time, he is a child of God. Second, I see similarities between our culture and Jesus' culture, a culture that Jesus both witnessed and actively resisted. We live in a culture whose typical response is one of violence, a culture where we have easy access to military-grade weapons, and a culture that prioritizes and fetishizes war. And while there is no single cause of these tragedies, we cannot let these events become so commonplace that complacency leads to our inaction. As Christians, our baptismal vocation calls us to respond to the blood of God's children so frequently and indiscriminately spilled as a result of gun violence. And therefore, as your pastor, I feel called to remind you and to encourage you today to take action in whatever ways you feel necessary. With that said, I also want to take a chance to talk a little bit about something that I've been hearing about from both the media and politicians and members of this community alike. It seems that in an effort to make sense of this rampage, the term mental illness has come to the center stage. And we should be very careful when we thrust this phrase into the limelight. It's already the case that over 75% of people view those with mental illness as dangerous. However, people with mental illnesses are rarely violent. Statistically speaking, they account for less than 5% of all violent incidents, which include but are not limited to firearm violence. In fact, compared to the general population, a person with a severe mental illness is 12 times more likely to be the victim of violence Let me repeat that again, because this is a staggering statistic. A person with a serious mental illness is 12 times more likely to be the victim of violence when compared with the general population. You see, the stigmatization and lumping of over 200 types of mental illness is alienating close to one-fifth of our adult population and leading to despair. And in today's gospel, we heard of Jesus' despair in the wilderness. And the Greek word for wilderness is eremos, which literally means lonely or desolate or deserted. And I cannot help but think of the experiences of those with mental illness as they struggle to conceal themselves for fear of being labeled crazy or dangerous. You see, living with a mental illness can feel like a desert, a place where no one understands you and others just approach you with apprehension. And while Mark's gospel, moving in his very quick fashion, doesn't give us many details about what happened during Jesus' 40 days in the desert, I cannot help but wonder what was going on. After all, Jesus, remember, is a 20-something-year-old guy forced into a lonely and isolated place. He had grown up with constant exposure to violence. And in fact, his adopted parents had to flee as refugees to save him from death at a very young age. His mother was a feisty Jewish woman who taught him songs of resistance and insurrection against the government and the primacy of God's provisions. And if you remember, in today's reading, we heard that at Jesus' baptism, that Jesus was the only one who heard this strange voice. In that wilderness where Jesus was, I wonder if he was tempted to respond to this broken world with violence. I wonder if he thought that that voice at his baptism might just be schizophrenia. I wonder how at the time of his deep loneliness, he was able to use it to shape his ministry. And while I cannot say that I have physically lived in the desert for 40 days, can anybody say they've lived in the desert for 40 days? Has anybody been to a desert? A few people. Arizona, I'm sure, maybe. I have not lived in a desert for 40 days, but I know that I have had, and you probably too have had, isolating experiences. Those moments when no one seems to understand us. Those times when we try to conceal something about ourselves or our past for fear of what the other might think. Those incidents when we were tormented by outside forces or even forces from deep within ourselves. We understand the wilderness. And so does Jesus. For in the wilderness, Jesus was not alone. Rather, if you heard, he lived among and probably learned from the wild animals that God had made. Angels, or better translated as messengers, cared for and ministered to Jesus. You see, in that transitional wilderness, as he wrestled in a dark and lonely place, he was not alone. As he worked through that period of life, he was transformed by the animals and the messengers around us, and then he emerged with a purpose and a better understanding of God's hope for the world. And once he begins his ministry in Mark's gospel, one of the very first things Jesus did was interact with a man who had an unclean spirit. It was a man overcome by an outside force, a power completely beyond his control. Now, the Bible might call it a demon. You and I, we might call it mental illness. But instead of fearing that man, instead of criminalizing him, instead of labeling him as mentally ill, Jesus walked towards that man. Jesus spoke directly to him, not at him. You see, Jesus brought healing and wholeness to both that man and to his entire community. And so too our God brings us healing, and wholeness. You see, in this gathered community, we see God's love reflected in compassionate conversation and loving actions. At that font, we are reminded of our purpose in life. And we gather at this table to be nourished and sustained by God's holy meal, where all are welcome, regardless of psychological history. Here in this place, we learn of our God who encounters us with all of our imperfections to remind us that we are loved and we are valued. And so I wonder, what would it look like if we too saw healing and wholeness as a part of our everyday ministry? What if instead of demonizing those with mental illness, we began to be messengers to them in their wilderness? Could we support them as they change their medications and finally find a healthy time to emerge anew? Could we advocate for accessible mental health care and strive to break the stigma that is around it in our culture? Might we support organizations like the Lutheran Disaster Response, who ministers to those with mental illness that was triggered by disaster and despair? Well, friends, today, the gospel that we read gives us a glimpse of our God who knows, who intimately understands the wilderness and meets us in those wilderness places. And so, friends, during these 40 days of Lent, in this space that looks a little desert-like, I hope that we might be reminded that God meets us in desert places, that in those places of loneliness and despair and darkness, that we might commit to being reflections of Christ to one another. So let us go forth carefully, carefully talking about mental illness. Let us be the voice for the voiceless who cannot speak and cannot vote. And let us remember that in the despairing wilderness, God is most certainly among us. Amen.